Today's shiur, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Tes. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shiur, we left off in the middle of a series of Amoroyim explaining the Machlokes Tanoim in our Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim concerning the case of Motzi Shemra. Rabbi Meir holding you need 3 judges, or you can say 3 are sufficient. The Chachamim holding you have to have 23. The series was featured by a house form, and we indicated at the beginning of the series that this would continue to Daf Tes Amid Beis. At the opening of our shiur, we'll be dealing with answer number 5, or explanation number 5, and that's offered by Rav Ashi. He's found on the very bottom line of Ches Amid Beis, Rav Ashi Omar, Kegoin de Asru Bei Malkus Velo Asru Bei Katla. The case in which Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim argue is a case where the husband brought witnesses in. However, the witnesses tell us that when they warned the woman before her act of immorality, that she would be guilty of lashes, of malchus, and they made no mention of the fact that this is a capital case involving the death penalty. As a result of that, it's very clear that we don't have an actual case of death penalty. The woman never received a warning to suggest that she would be guilty of the death penalty. But what they did warn her was that if she commits this act of immorality, she would be violating a negative commandment of the Torah, a lav, and as a result of violating the lav of a Torah, she would be guilty of a penalty of lashings. How many judges do you need to judge a case of malchus? We will now see that there is a machlokis between the Chachomim and Rabbi Shmuel as to the number of judges needed to judge such a case, and that same machlokis will explain the machlokis in our Mishnah. V'komiflegi, the authorities in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim, are arguing b'plukta de Rabbi Shmuel v'rabbonan, paralleling the machlokis between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachomim. Disnan, we have a Tanaic source in our marking system. Tanaic sources are featured by a frame around them. Makos b'shloisha, according to the first opinion, cases involving lashes, where the penalty for the violator is makos, 3 judges are enough. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, it was stated, b'esher m'shloisha. Hence, the Chachamim in our Mishnah will take on the opinion of that which is stated in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. And hence they said, Motzi Shemra requires 23. Ravina Omar, he's now a 6th approach to explain the machlokas in the Mishnah. Kegoin shenimtza echad min ha'edim karov uposel. The case involved is where one of the witnesses that the husband brought in to show that she was immoral, one of those witnesses was found to be an invalid witness, either because of his being a relative or because of some type of other grounds for rendering him puzzle. The main thing to note in this particular scenario of Ravina is that the husband brought in more than 2 witnesses. He brought in 3 or 4 witnesses. Enough witnesses that if one is found to be void, there would still be enough, there would be a minimum of 2, on which the case could in theory stand. The question is, when you have a group of witnesses and one is found to be Karov Apostle, does that invalidate the entire group? Or do we say that the rest of the witnesses, the kosher ones, can carry on the case? In our topic heading in the outside margin, we've indicated under Tatnose, meaning a subtopic, because the general topic of these dapim is to explain the machlokis in the Mishnah, but the subtopic here is kat edim, a group of witnesses, shel shlosha, or oyoser, three or more witnesses, shenimsa echameim korv apostle. What happens when one of them is found to be invalid? As we go on in the Gemara, we will see more details and be able to explain the machlokis, Rabbi Meir and the Chomim in the Mishnah, based on what we'll see as the Gemara unfolds. V'komiflagi, the machlokis between Rabbi Meir and the Chomim in our Mishnah, b'plukta parallels the machlokis to Rabbi Yossi v'Rebbe, aliba to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe, who are later authorities, who are arguing between themselves, based on Rabbi Akiva's teaching. Disnan, we have a Tanaic source that goes till Tesamud Beis at the top, second line from the top. The opening of this Tanaic source features Rabbi Akiva, and we've indicated that his speech is long, and that's indicated by the abbreviated Reish Ayin, Rabbi Akiva, in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, and a dashed vertical line indicating the length of Rabbi Akiva's speech. After that, Rabbi Yossi enters the discussion. Following Rabbi Yossi will be Rabbi. The names you can see are highlighted with underlines. As far as our sugya is concerned, we're going to be interested in seeing Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi, and then applying these opinions to explain the Rabbi Meir and Chachamim Machlokis in our Mishnah. So we open up with Rabbi Akiva, the Snan. Rabbi Akiva Olimer, Lo bo shlishi elo lahachmir olov, la'asois dinoi kayotze be'elu. The presence of a third witness in a group of witnesses only serves as a stringency upon him, a chumrah upon him, to make him, the third witness, like the others. The case alluded to over here is a situation where three witnesses testified about some type of, let us say, a capital case. And then these three witnesses were found to be zoymimim. In other words, two other witnesses came in and said about the initial three, how could you testify concerning the capital case that you claimed happened on this and this day and this place when you were with us? On those at that hour in a different place. The result of that testimony renders the first three witnesses to be zoymimim, and the Torah says kasher zomam, they will get the penalty, they will suffer a punishment like that which they were trying to inflict on the original defendant. Hence you have the original three witnesses Chayev, now they are Chayev Misa. The question is, do we kill all three of them? Is it not so that the third witness to testify could claim, hey, the case would have stood even without me in the picture? Two witnesses are enough to have created a capital case. True, I also lied, but why should I suffer the same fate as the first two? So Rabbi Kiva comes along and says, too bad. The Torah says, according to Rabbi Kiva, that the third witness who testified and was found to be a liar through the Hazoma process must suffer the same fate as the first two, even though the case could have stood without him. Continuing in the Gemara, Im Kain Onash HaKosav Al HaNitpal LiOivrei Avera KaOivrei Avera. If this be the case that the Torah punishes the person who is subsidiary, nitpal, subsidiary to the primary sinners. The primary sinners in this case would have been the first two witnesses. And this third party, the attachment party, the subsidiary party, is treated as if he were a main player. Alachas kamo v'kamo shiyashalim schar ala nitpal liyosei mitzvah ka'yosei mitzvah. All the more so will HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward the one who is subsidiary in the performance of a mitzvah as if he were a main player in the performance of a mitzvah. And Rashi points out that the midah of tova, the attribute of goodness, of bestowing reward is greater than the attribute of retribution. Continuing, Uma Shnayim Nimso Echod Mehem Korov Uposel Hidusim Betela. And following in the same theme that we opened up with, that just like in the case of two, if one of them is found to be invalid as a witness, either because he's a kor of a relative or posel invalid for some other reason, the witnessing is batel, edusan batela. You don't have two witnesses anymore. Af shlosha. So too in a group of three witnesses, nimsa echot mehem karov apostle, if one of the three is found to be invalid, edusan betela, the whole case is off. And as a result of that, we do not say, let the case continue based on the other ones that were not found to be karov apostle. Minayin javilu mea. And how do you know that this rule will apply, says Rabbi Akiva, even if you have a group of 100 witnesses? Talmud Lomar, Edim. Because the Torah uses the word Edim, and that word comes to Marba, comes to include all cases, all numbers of witnesses in a singular group, whether it be even if it be a very large group, but it's treated as one group. And if you invalidate one of them, the whole group falls apart. That's Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi come to explain that position. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Bamed Vamamurim, when do we say that the entire group of witnesses is batel, is invalid? Bedine nefashas. In other words, we're quick to find them to be invalid, because the Torah itself says, v'hitzilu ha'eda. In other words, the Torah instructs the legal system to seek vindication, to seek exoneration of the defendant. We're trying to save a life, so to speak. So if there's a grounds for finding innocence, even if it be on some kind of technicality, if you will, we will view that the defendant is innocent. And in this case, if one of the witnesses, even though it was a large group of witnesses, and even though the case could have continued based on the kosher witnesses that were part of the group, we say that the whole case is off. That is true in the case of Dine Nefoshes, capital cases. Avol, but Dine Momenos Tiskayim Edus Bishar. However, when you're dealing with matters of finance alone, we say that even though one of the witnesses was found to be Korov Apostle, the case will continue based on the kosher witnesses that are there. Rebbe Omer, Echod Dine Momenos V'Echod Dine Nefoshes. Rebbe says we do not make a distinction between financial cases and capital cases with regard to the invalidating of the group of witnesses. In other words, even in a case of Dine Momentis, if you find one of them to be Korov Apostle, the whole case is off. The Amosai. However, when is it that we say that the whole case is off? Now, Rebbe makes a distinction not in terms of nature of the case, but in terms of a distinction now is made between cases where the witnesses warned, they were all part of the warning, or they were not part of a warning. So the Rebbe explains, V'emosai, when do we say Edusan Betela? Not making any distinctions between Momenus and Nefoshes. That is true, Bizman Shehisru Bohen. Rashi says here, Bizman Shehisru. When is it? Let us go over this point based on the Rashi, V'emosai. When is it that we say in Dine Nefoshes that the case will be Batel? That is true. Bizman Shehisru, Rashi says, Hakorov o Hapostle be'ovrei avera, where the individual who said to be, that we found to be invalid, was part of the warning, where he warned the defendant about the impending punishment. Shegilu daitom shavheim naasim edim. The Korov Apostle revealed to us by their active involvement in the witnessing, by their offering the warning that they're also witnesses. V'harei hakosuv hikish levatel ha'edus im yesh karov u'pasul. And the Torah compares the case of the three to the case of two with regard to voiding the set of witnesses if one is found to be invalid. Avolo hisru ha'korov apostle be'ovre avira elo shasku. However, if you have the korov apostle present but they remained quiet, v'ksherim hisru bohen, and the kosher ones, the acceptable witnesses, they offered the warning to the defendant, ein elu nasim edim. Then we say that the korov apostle that were there, even though they saw it, they're nevertheless not viewed as part of the group of witnesses. V'tiskayim ha'edus b'shar. And as a result of that, the case will be able to continue with the other kosher witnesses there. So we read that again at the bottom of Tes Amud Aleph. Ve'emosai, when do we say that the case of Nefoshos Edusan is Batel? That's Bizman Shehisru Bohen. That's when the Korov Apostle served as warners, as they offered the Hasra, showing that they were part of the Edim. Avol Bizman Shelo Hisru Bohen, however, in a case that they were there, the Korov Apostle, but remained silent, Ma Yasu Shnei Achim Ve'echod Shero'u Be'echod Shehorag Ezen Nefesh. What would be in a case, what could possibly be in a case where you have two brothers and a third party, a kosher witness, that saw a murder take place? Namely, if you had two brothers and a third party, the third party, unrelated, plus one of the brothers, that would constitute a legitimate group set of witnesses, two people, one of the brothers and that other unrelated person. If they just happen to be present there, and let us say that the third party is the one that offered the warning, namely, the two brothers together did not offer the warning. If the two brothers together did not do the warning, then, says Rebbe, there's no reason to call the case off. How does all this tie into the Machlokis in our Mishnah? Let us glance at Rashi at the top, and you'll see how he ties in together the Machlokis, Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe to our Mishnah. Rashi says, Shiro be'echot shoragas ha'nefesh, u'plukta d'Rabbi Meir v'Rabbona Nami. The Mishnah Machlokis as well, kagon shenimtso echot min hashlosha korov u'posel, v'ro v'shosak v'lo hisra. We had the three witnesses that came to tell us that the woman behaved immorally, and one of the three witnesses was, let us say, a thief. So he's posel. However, when he witnessed the case, he remained silent, leaving two other kosher witnesses, Rabbi Meir, Savar, Lo, Kerebiosi, De Omar, Bedine Nefoshos. Rabbi Meir, who said in our Mishnah that the case of Motzi Shemra is a case for three judges to deal with, will hold like Rabbi Yossi that said, in Dine Nefoshos, when you're dealing with a capital case, Lo Shna Hisra Velo Shna Shosak, it doesn't matter whether he was active in the warning or even remained silent, Eduz on Betela. According to Rabbi Yossi, the witnesses are voided. For Rabbanon, Savri, the Rabbanon in our Mishnah that said you need 23, Karebi, they hold like Rebbe, Dehecho the Shosak, where the apostle remained silent, Tiskayim Ho'edus Bishar Umikdala. The case continues with the two other kosher witnesses, and she will suffer a death penalty. Hence, you will need 23 judges. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice another house form, number 7, and a few lines later, number 8. Ve'iboy esema. Another approach to explain the machlokis in our Mishnah, kagon shehisru bo achirim velo hisru bo edim. The husband brought witnesses in that will say that that his wife was immoral after their erusin. However, the warning that was issued to the wife was not done by the witnesses who are offering the testimony. Who warned her? Some other people who are not offering the testimony. And the Machlokis Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim parallels the Machlokis between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. This not. Rebbe Yossi Omer, Le'olam Eino Neharag, Achiu Pi Shnei Eidov Masrin Boy. According to Rebbe Yossi, there is no capital case unless the witnesses themselves are the ones that were issuing the warning. Shenema Alpi Shnayim Eidim. That Alpi, the warning, must be through the Shnayim Eidim, through the witnesses themselves. Hence, in our Mishnah, since the witnesses were not the ones that issued the warning, according to Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir will hold, like Rebbe Yossi, that there is no capital case. The Chachomim will not hold like Rebbe Yossi and say that the main thing is that there was a warning. It doesn't have to be from the witnesses themselves. And hence, since there was a warning, even though it wasn't these witnesses, you do have a capital case, and hence you need 23. The Iboy Yisema, an eighth approach to explain the Machlokas in our Mishnah Kagon, the Iskachush Bevedikos Velo Iskachush Bechakirois. The witnesses who came to testify about the act of immorality were iskachush, found to be inconsistent or contradictory on the level of questions that the judges posed to the witnesses, the level of questions known as bedikos, less central questions, in other words, questions not involving time and place. Questions, for example, what was the color of the offender, the color of the clothing of the offender. If they were found to be inconsistent or contradictory regarding questions like of that nature, as opposed to questions concerning time and place, and in this case there was contradiction on bedikos velo yiskachush b'chakiros, but there was no contradiction. They remained consistent regarding questions posed to them, the cross-examination of the witnesses concerning time and place, does that void them as witnesses? The komiflegi bepluta de ben Zakkai v'Rabbanan. The machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim will parallel the machlokas between ben Zakkai and the Rabbana Disnan. Maise ubodak ben Zakkai v'uktzei te'enim. Ben Zakkai, in his cross-examining of the witnesses, asked them a question concerning the stems of figs. We are not going to get involved with the details of Ben Zakkai. That's an issue dealt with later in the Masechet. Suffice it to say that the issue that Ben Zakkai was cross-examining the witnesses on was not Chakiros, it was not time and place, but rather it was a Bedika concerning something of a secondary nature, we'll say. And hence we've also dashed underlined in our marking the word ubodak. This is an issue of bedikos. How does this tie into our Mishnah? So we have two witnesses that appeared on behalf of the husband. They were asked questions concerning time and place, and the two witnesses answered consistent with one another regarding those issues. They were then asked questions. The witnesses were asked questions concerning bedikos. And when the witnesses are cross-examined, they're not cross-examined one in front of the other. Hence, we can determine whether they are telling the truth by consistency in their answers. There was found to be inconsistency with regard to questions like what was the color of the clothing of the paramour, of the fellow that was conducted the immorality with this wife, with this woman. According to Rabbi Meir, who in our Mishnah said three judges will judge the case, it's because there was hakosha in bedikos. There was inconsistency found in the questions of the bedikos. Hence, there is no longer a capital case. According to the Rabbanan who hold that a hakosha, a contradiction in the on the bedikos level of questioning, does not render them void. Does not void them. Hence, you still have a capital case, and that's why the Rabbanan said you will need the 23 witnesses, the 23 judges to judge this case. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that with that, the issue just discussed comes to an end, and the Gemara now embarks on a new discussion. So, up till now, we've seen 8 different approaches to explain the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, Rabbi Meir holding 3 judges, the Chachamim holding 23 judges, in the case of Motzi Shemra. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice we have a new topic. The Nosei, Palginon Dibura, the issue of splitting the testimony. Palginon literally meaning having it. We'll see the application as we go on in the Gemara. However, we'll also encounter a new geometric form, the use of the triangles. And you can see that the triangle with the point facing up represents Rabbi Yosef's opinion. And the inverted triangle will introduce Rava, who disagrees with Rav Yossi, and then following the initial disagreeing of Rava, there will be a series of comments made by Rava that follow. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. Hevi Habal Edim Shezinsa. A husband brings in witnesses that his wife was immoral. The case of Motzi Shemra, if you will, Vehevi Ho'av Edim Vehezimum Li'ede Habal. And then the father brought witnesses indicating that the husband's witnesses were Edim Zemimim. In other words, that the husband's witnesses could not have possibly testified about her act of immorality at this and this time and this and this place because they, the witnesses of the husband, were with the witnesses the father of the girl brings in at the very same time, at the very same place that they claimed the act to have taken place. In other words, they were at a different at the same time in a different place. As far as the case, how does it unfold? Ede Habal, we featured with the diamonds here, the Ede Habal and Ede Ha'av. The witnesses that the husband brought in, Neherogin, they will suffer a death penalty. Why is that? They were made that the woman was immoral. Hence, they tried to commit her to death. And since they, the witnesses, were found to be Zemimim, Kasher Zomam, they get the penalty that they were trying to inflict to others. However, V'ein Mishalman Mamoin, they will not pay any money. Let's explain this a little bit. When the witnesses the husband brought in claimed that she was immoral, what were they in effect saying? They were saying that she is going to, she ought to lose her ksuba rights, and not only that, but she's guilty of a death penalty. So we say as follows, that the witnesses the husband brought in will suffer the death penalty. However, they will not offer compensation to the woman, the money or the rights to the value of the rights she had to her ksuba. That's known as toivas hanoa ksubasa. Kol zman, as long as a woman has a ksuba coming to her, she in theory could sell her ksuba to someone else, and that someone else, in the event that she gets divorced or died, would collect the ksuba money. We'll call that a type of options on the ksuba. In the Gemara terms, we term that the toivas hanoa she has to her ksuba. By their testimony, the husband's witnesses' testimony that she was immoral, she would lose any potential income that she could have had by selling her ksuba. That's called toivas hanoa. However, since they were found to be zomimim, and they will suffer the death penalty, they do not have to compensate her as well with regard to the toivas hanoa. They get the more severe penalty. They get the more severe penalty and do not have to pay money. The case continues. Chozar vehevi habal edim vehezimum le'ede ho'av. If the husband were to bring in additional witnesses that will be mazim, show us that the husbands of the father were edim zemimim, let us think for a second. What were the witnesses that the father brought in trying to accomplish? They were trying to cause the husband's witnesses to die, plus they, the father's witnesses, were trying to expose the husband as a liar, and as a result of that, the husband would have to pay 100 kesef. So now that the father's witnesses were exposed as zaymimim, the ruling is as follows. Neherogim u'mishalmin momon. Here, they will suffer a death penalty because of what they were trying to do to the husband's witnesses. But as opposed to the case before, here, the father's witnesses will have to pay money as well. Now, why is that? Did we not say above that the witnesses who are guilty suffer only the more severe penalty? That's not the case here. And that's why as follows. Momoin loze unefoshos loze. The momon penalty is a result of what they were trying to cause loss to the husband. They were trying, the Eidei Ho'av were trying to show that the husband is a liar and that the husband will have to pay 100 mea kesef. Hence, the money aspect was targeted at the husband. The nefashos aspect is a result of what they were trying to do to another party, to the witnesses that the husband brought in. That once again, momon lezeh unefashos lezeh. And in such a case, we do not say kom lei b'derabimene, namely the two results that the Eidei Ho'av were trying to accomplish were two results affecting two different parties. Hence, they, the Eidei Ho'av, will suffer two penalties. Namely, they will pay money, and then they will pay money, of course, to the husband, and they will die because of what they were trying to do to the husband's witnesses. The Omar Rav Yosef. And now we have another comment of Rav Yosef. Hence, we've employed the triangle indicating the series effect, the repetitious element. Rav Yosef says another halacha. Ploni Rav Oi. Lo'oinsoi. Ravo is known as Mishkav Zohar. Acts of sex in a homosexual fashion between two men. That is punishable by the death penalty. They testify that so-and-so was involved with this act of immorality, but la'onso, against his will. In other words, there was a victim, and he was molested in a Mishkav Zohar fashion against his will. Who v'acher mitstarfen lahorgo? Who are the two witnesses over here? Who v'acher? Who means the victim himself, the nirba, and an outsider can testify against the molester. We titled Leonso as case Aleph. Now we have case Beis. Liritzono. If the passive player in this case of Mishkav Zohar says that, yes, I was involved with an act of immorality, I with so-and-so, he fingers so-and-so, together with an outsider, hence you have the two parties, well, the victim, if you will, or the passive party, and the other, and the outsider, finger the molester. So we say in such a case, since he's saying that he did it willingly, that he was party to this act of Mishkav Zohar willingly, Rasha who? He is a Rasha. He's deemed to be a Rasha. The Torah Omro al Toshes Rasha Aid. And the Torah said that one is not allowed to have a Rasha as a witness. So according to Rav Yosef, where the fellow exposed himself as a Rasha, he, this particular victim, if you will, this player, and the outsider cannot serve as a group of two witnesses to testify against the molester. Rava disagrees with Rav Yosef. You can see with the markings that we've inverted the triangle. Our attempt here has been explained by the note we have, if you notice where the asterisk appears in the margin. He'ora, Hamashulash Ha'afuch, the inverted triangle, Mare Shirova Choylik al Rav Yosef, that Rava disagrees with Rav Yosef. Hemshachnu Acharkach Oid Mishuloshim, we've continued after this piece of Gemara with further inverted triangles, Kedei Lesamein Sidra Shel Rava, to indicate we have a series of Rava comments, Avolo Shebechreach Hadinim Chokim Al Kol Divrei Rav Yosef. But not to suggest that all of the upcoming Rava statements are here to disagree with Rav Yosef. The disagreement between Rava and Rav Yosef is only at this initial triangle for our purposes. Let us continue in the Gemara. Rava Omar, Rava addressing the case of the Mishkav Zohar, where the passive party says, Liritzono, I was party to this willingly. Rav Yosef ruled you don't have two witnesses because one of them declared himself to be a Rasha. Rav Omar, Odom Korov Eitzel Atzmo, a person is considered a relative to himself. In other words, relatives are posiliatus. V'ein Odom Mesim Atzmo Rasha, and since he's considered and since we have a rule that a person cannot testify about himself that he is a Rasha, we say that his testimony about Ritzono is stricken from the record, so to speak. And what we have is his testimony, this victim's testimony, and the outsider concerning the molester, and the case will be able to be prosecuted. Let us take a look at the Rashi at the bottom. Rav Omar, Ein Odom Nifsal Li'edus Bo'edos Piv. A person does not become rendered void for testimony from his own confession. The Odom Korov Eitzel Atzmo. A person is considered a relative unto himself. Hilkoch, ein odom yochol lasum atzmo rasha. Since a person is considered a relative with regard to information about himself, the information he tells us about himself is stricken from the record, and therefore a person cannot make himself into a rasha. Klomar al edus atzmo einu nase rasha. Therefore, as a result of this principle, testimony about himself will not turn him into a Rasha. Shere Torah Posel Karov Liedus. The Torah says that a relative is not acceptable to testify. And as a result of this, V'neherag Horoiveya, the molester will be prosecuted with the death penalty. The Pagino Dibura. We split his information, the information of this fellow who said, I did it willingly, and we believe him regarding the other fellow, the other party in this act. We don't believe him with regard to himself, to render the edus posel. Hence we see a machlokus between Rava and Rav Yosef in the case of Ploni Ravani Liritzoni, where we say that the according to Rava, the victim and the outsider can join up to testify against the molester. Rav Yosef, as we said, disagrees. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.